morning. You made it in this negative 5-degree temperature. Good job. We have had an amazing past week of services, and I am really excited to see how God moves through everyone who has attended this past week. Like Dave said, I have been here 8 months, and I am so thankful for everyone that has welcomed my wife and I. We are just thrilled to be here. And especially in the student ministry realm, there's been so much that God has been doing in this area. Looking back on the time that I've been here, they threw me into the deep end. A month in, I got sent to Colorado with 160 students, 20-some leaders, a 16-hour bus ride, and a week with all those students. But there was so much life change that took place. And I think about the kickoff of this past fall's ministry season. Being able to invest into the 30-some volunteers who lead small groups and watching the fruits of these adults that they're producing by loving God and putting the time to investing into over 200 students is just so cool to be a part of. The staff and the body here at Westwood have been incredibly gracious in welcoming Kristen and I. And it's truly an honor and a blessing to be a part of what is happening here at Westwood. And I cannot wait to see where the Lord will continue to move in the years to come. This time of year, however, is so fast-paced. Maybe it doesn't feel like it anymore now that Christmas is over. But you race from the Christmas ham to the wild rice, from the Swedish sausage to the rice pudding. And you busy yourselves with 15 different events. You go from family events to school events to work events to more family events. And it just goes on. We're also nearing the start of school again. Any students in the audience? This is the end of Christmas break. I remember thinking in high school, this is terrible. I haven't studied at all. I have finals coming up. I don't know what I'm going to do. But for the parents of those students, you're probably like, we're ready to send those kids back to school. When Joel asked me to preach, all he told me was that I would be on December 28th and 29th. He didn't give me any topic to preach on, which is nerve-wracking but also exciting at the same time. I have decided to title my sermon, Living and Leaving a Legacy. And I want to start by sharing a story about a man named Gallus Brighton Moser and his great-nephew, Danny Wallace. Danny Wallace was between jobs. Having recently left a position as a producer for BBC TV in London, when he learned his great-uncle, Gallus Brighton Moser, had passed away at the age of 90. Danny went to Switzerland for the funeral, and while there, he heard about the crazy idea his uncle had pursued. Following World War II, Gallus had grown tired of living in his city where there was much gossip and slandering. He wanted to do life with others who would work and live together out of respect for one another. He owned some land, so he decided to start a community farm, hoping to attract 100 others to live with him. He got 3. After a week, he gave up this idea. But for the rest of his life, his family talked about Gallus and his crazy idea. They were still laughing about it at his funeral. And this was the first that Danny had heard of his great uncle's quest for community. And the more he thought about it, the more Danny wanted to see if he could collect people together today. So in a tribute to Gallus, Danny placed a small ad in a small London newspaper. It read, "Join me. Send one passport-sized photo to," and he gave his address. A few days later, Danny received a letter from Christian Jones, who included a photo of himself as well as a menu from an Indian restaurant in his part of London. Danny had his first joinee. He put up a website, and in a short time had 101 joinees. This was surpassing his great uncle's goal. So why had people joined? There were no meetings planned, no tasks to accomplish, and so far people had just been asked to send in a photo. That's it. And within weeks, more than 100 people had done so. They signed up for a group, no other reason than to belong. Danny was astounded and a bit put out. His joinees now expected him to give meaning to the community, but it had no purpose until Danny came up with one. He sent an email where he revealed the plans for the collective. They would be known as Join Me, in which their purpose was to undertake random acts of kindness one day per week. Join Me had its marching orders. A joinee would buy a sandwich and give it to a stranger on a bench. A joinee would buy a newspaper and give it to somebody in the park. Lunches were bought, groceries were carried, lawns were mowed, all done freely because they were part of Join Me. And it continues to grow worldwide in spite of the fact that there are no club dues, no scheduled meetings, no rules, no regulations to follow. Gallus left a legacy. He did something extraordinary. He had a vision of what something might look like, and he chose to go after that. He owned a farm, invited people to join him, live at that farm. But this idea died quickly. And even though his actions died, the memory of that did not. Can't you imagine his friends seeing him in the pub and poking fun at him? Remember that time you invited all those people to your farm and you got three? What a crock of an idea that was. But the legacy still remained after he died. And it had a far greater impact than Gallus would ever have imagined. We can only assume he never planned on having an impact on his great nephew to start up a following called Join Me. A group of do-gooders who wanted to have a positive incognito effect on others around them. So even though friends and family thought this idea was far-fetched, Gallus lived a legacy, be it only for a short time. And he left a legacy that was taken on by his great nephew. So what does this have to do with us here and now? I'm guessing that most, if not all of you, have never heard of Join Me. We are going to look at what it means to live and leave a legacy with a kingdom perspective. We see in Scripture so many different accounts of people who have lived legacies. But if you only live a legacy and you don't leave a legacy, then it's all for naught. So the obvious place to me to start with this is with Jesus. Jesus is a pretty good example for everything that we do, and pretty good is an extreme, extreme understatement. Jesus is a great example. We see Jesus be very intentional with how he lived his life. And this is not new information for us. We know that he did everything with intentionality. And sometimes I think we don't actually sit down and realize how and why he did this. From how he first went into the wilderness to pray and hear from his heavenly Father before he did anything in his ministry. We see intentionality in the way that he called his disciples. He told them, he went to them and told them to come and follow him. And when he called Matthew, also known as Levi the tax collector, he went and ate with him at his house with other tax collectors. These are people that are looked down on by society. Jesus intentionally ate with people who needed to hear the good news. Jesus knew what he was doing. And we see Jesus being intentional when he challenged the Pharisees who spoke out against him, asking, "Why would you eat with these sinners?" They would question his actions, and Jesus would answer in a loving yet challenging way. He says in Matthew 9, 12, and 13, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus knew who needed to hear what he had to say. We see intentionality in how Jesus challenged the people who thought they wanted to follow him. With the rich young ruler, a man who had everything to his name that he could ever want, Jesus called him out and said, "Leave those things you have and follow me." The rich young ruler was not ready yet to live a kingdom legacy, and he left Jesus' side and went back to his possessions. We see Jesus being intentional in the way that he interacted with the disciples. He set the tone for how they were to follow him. Jesus set an example by going away alone to pray and spend time with the Father. In your teaching notes, there's a verse in Mark. You can open up to that, or you can open your Bible to Mark 14, 32 through 38. This is what it says. "And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.'
And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus lived a legacy through intentionality. Everywhere he went, he brought his disciples along with him. When he went to heal people, the disciples learned to heal people. When he went to a new town, the disciples followed him to those new towns. When he talked with Pharisees, the disciples watched and listened to what he had to say. Jesus knew his time on earth was limited, and he knew the people that were following him were not perfect and would not be in the same place spiritually as he was or ever would be. So because of this, he had to live in such a way the disciples could follow and do what he did. Jesus left them equipped with everything he knew from the Father. Jesus lived his life so full of purpose that the disciples could not miss all that he was doing for them and the legacy he was living. Because of Jesus' intentional way of living with the disciples, he left a legacy for them to follow. It was something they witnessed firsthand. Jesus had the 12 disciples who were near him, and he had three that were closest to him, Peter, James, and John, who we just read about. But it was also something they could duplicate. He didn't live in a way that couldn't be followed. He invited the disciples to do as he did. The entire book of Acts is a duplication of what the disciples had just experienced with Jesus. Think about it. They're off a 3-year stint following him everywhere. They ate where Jesus ate. They slept where Jesus slept. They fished where Jesus fished. They hear some of the greatest sermons in existence. They see Jesus encourage people who have lost their way to follow God. They watch the Son of God raise people from the dead and rise from death himself. He healed people of diseases. He cast out demons. He told the Pharisees, to put it nicely, reevaluate how they live. And the list goes on and on. In Acts 1, 4 through 8, we read, And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This group of people couldn't contain what they had just experienced. They had a calling directly from Jesus himself to go out to the cities they did and did not know, to be witnesses, to do what Jesus had done, to preach the gospel, to transform major influential cities and tell of the love that Jesus had done for the whole world, to live and leave a legacy. And they did. But they only did this because Jesus had first taught them what to do. They would have had no idea where to start. They didn't know what was up from down, left from right, until Jesus showed them. They didn't know who to even talk with. Jesus pointed the way for the disciples. He told them to go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the ends of the earth. So when Jesus left this earth, the disciples went out to these different areas and taught what they had just learned from him. But they didn't just do it themselves. They brought others along for the ride. They saw how Jesus ate with them, so they ate with others. They saw Jesus teach different truths about the Father, so they taught these truths. They saw Jesus invite the disciples to travel with him, so they invited others to travel with him. Paul joined the group. Timothy joined. Barnabas joined. Silas joined. all of these new disciples joining in for the cause. And it wasn't just a cause to feel good about being nice to others, like, join me. That wasn't enough for them. They fully believed that what they knew about Jesus was worth setting aside everything they knew and telling others about the love the Father has for them. And the disciples had a clear and direct calling. And we have the same calling. And the calling happens with the changed heart. We read about Jesus and what he did because he has a love for us that is infinite. When we have a changed heart, we begin to move towards the likeness of Jesus. We do what Jesus did, like the disciples did. We have a calling on our lives to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. To sit with him, like the disciples sat with him. To learn what he has to say about our lives. To study his words in the Bible. To pray with him. To love others like Jesus loved others. To listen to the calling he has on our lives and know that the cost to live for him is worth everything we have to offer. But that's not enough. Jesus knew his time on earth was limited, so he was intentional about everything he did while living. He passed on all that he knew to the people who followed him and were willing to hear him. In John 14:12, Jesus tells his followers that they will do what he has been doing and even greater because he is going to the Father. And this is the promise the disciples held on to. It was not enough for them to listen to Jesus and not do anything after he left. And the same is for us. Our calling is to pass on what we are receiving and learning from the Lord. To know what Jesus did and to do those things in our lives as well. Where are you being intentional like Jesus was intentional? Where are you being intentional like the disciples were intentional? Where are you leaving a legacy? You hear Westwood vision statement of with open hands we receive and with open hands we give away, knowing we can never fully outgive the Lord. And Joel points constantly to the love and the joy and the peace of God that we receive and to give away the love and the joy and the peace of God. When I talk with leaders of En Route, the high school ministry here on Wednesday nights, I reinforce this idea over and over. That we can only give away what we receive from the Lord. That means if we aren't spending time with the Lord, if we aren't letting him shape who we are and what we are about, then we are like, join me. We do good, but we don't do as good as God can do. God can do so much more than we can ever hope for. I don't want just a warm body to fill the role of a small group leader. I want a passionate Christ follower who is receiving from the Lord all the time so they can pass on what they have received from the Lord to students. And these are the kind of people that we have in this area of ministry. The leaders who choose to spend their time of 16 hours on a bus ride overnight to Colorado so they can hang out with 160 high school students because they know the love of Christ has for them are the kind of people that I want in my ministry. The leaders who choose to hang out with over 200 students on Wednesday nights because they know the love of God has for them, those are the kind of leaders I want in my ministry. These leaders have their fingerprints all over the student ministry. I cannot emphasize how big of an impact the leaders have on students because their first love is Jesus Christ. They love God and want so badly to invest in the students so they can experience the same love. They can leave legacies. They are leaving legacies. And this principle goes beyond student ministry. It goes beyond the church walls. It goes into every area that we live. Students in the audience, when you're at school, live in such a way that others can see the difference. Live in a way that is God-honoring and God-pleasing so others can see the difference. And if you work, the same goes for you. Live in such a way at work where others can see that you are changed because of God's love. If you have kids, pass on what you are learning from God to your kids. And if you don't know what that means, simply start by praying with them, by reading your Bible with them, and by coming to church with them. If you live in a neighborhood or wherever you live, be purposeful with your time and energy. Invite others to see how you live life and ask Christ to be a part of your life daily. Look for areas to get involved. Host a barbecue, maybe not in January, unless that's your idea of a good time, but I highly doubt that. Go to a neighbor kid's hockey game and sit with the parents in the stands. Talk with them. It doesn't have to be a spiritual conversation. If it comes up, great. Otherwise, just build that relationship with that family. Have a progressive dinner. Kristen and I live in St. Paul, which I know out here sounds like Timbuktu. But we live in a condo building made of 7 units. It's very small, so we get to know our neighbors pretty well. And while living in the city is very fun, being able to walk downtown St. Paul or to the Xcel Energy Center, living here makes life interesting with the cornucopia of people and personalities. In our building, we have a progressive dinner every winter. And each unit signs up for one part of the meal, whether it's appetizers, the main part of the meal, desserts, whatever. And we go from each unit just hanging out, talking, and enjoying food. And there's something about food that takes down barriers in conversations. Why do you think Jesus was always eating with people while teaching them lessons? The people in our building can see how my wife and I live because we live in close quarters. Because we have this progressive dinner together. Because we have monthly condo meetings. Because we have barbecues in July. We don't necessarily preach to them all the time. If it comes up in conversation, great. But we're just there to be friendly, to give love and joy and peace that God gives us. We're also called away to give what we have received spiritually. Join Me happened because these people knew it was powerful to do random acts of kindness. They themselves had experienced kindness in their lives and knew the impact it had on them, so they in turn wanted to impact others. So not only do my wife and I live our lives out in the open in these settings, when the opportunity comes, we know the power that Jesus has in our lives. We know that He heals emotionally. We know that He heals spiritually. We know that He heals physically. We know He loves us through our junk over and over when we are not deserving. We know He cares so much about us that He would be born in a stable with some scratchy hay next to some donkeys, live a life persecuted, die a terrible death because His love is never ending. And we know that when a woman in our building was dying from cancer, we can share verses that have been impactful in our lives. We know that we can pray for her to experience God's love, God's joy, God's peace. And we can pray for her family to experience that same love, joy, and peace that God gives. This is the legacy that Jesus has left. It is the promise of eternal life. Because the Father loves us so much. Jesus was constantly talking with the Father. He was always going away from the crowds to pray and hear what the Father wanted. In John 3:16, the most popular verse known to humans, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." Jesus was sent to this earth to redeem all that had gone wrong. He was following His heavenly Father's legacy. Our Father in heaven has the only legacy that matters. And He lived that out through creation and ultimately sending His Son to this earth. Jesus followed that legacy. He knew what the Father wanted, and He acted accordingly. The disciples followed Jesus, having seen, having heard, having witnessed all that Jesus had done. And the disciples brought others on board, setting the example that Jesus had set. This trend continues generation after generation after generation until we're here now. And I ask the question of how are we living a legacy like Jesus lived? How will we leave a legacy like Jesus left. The new year is a couple days away, and I don't know your take on New Year's resolutions, but I personally am not a big fan of them. But I propose that we make a life resolution. I propose that we start or continue living legacies, and that we start or continue leaving legacies, like the Heavenly Father's legacy, because that is the only legacy that matters. I'm going to ask you to do something that might be a little strange for you. It's not really that strange. I just want to preface that so you might feel like, oh, it's not so bad. In a second, I'm going to invite you to stand and open your hands. And I'm going to pray for the Father's legacy to be given to you in abundance, for His love and His joy and His peace to be given to you so that you can receive that and you can experience that legacy. And then in turn, give that legacy away. Please stand. You can open your hands if you're willing to, kind of like you're receiving a gift. Because it is a gift. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your legacy, the legacy that matters. We thank you for sending your Son to demonstrate what it means to live a legacy and to leave a legacy. Father, I ask that you would just pour out your blessings on this congregation, that you would give them your love first, that they would experience that in a way that is personal to them. And Lord, that you would give them your joy, because your joy is the only joy that matters, and that you would bring peace to their lives. A peace that passes all understanding. Father, and in turn, while they live through this love and joy and peace and start and continue to live a legacy, would they be bold in leaving this legacy that you have given them? That they would be bold in influencing others with your love and with your joy and your peace. Would they be intentional, like Jesus and the disciples were intentional, about where they invest into others around them? Thank you, Father, for your love and for your legacy. Amen. Go in peace.